Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this episode of the Beaver Dam. I am your host, Tyler Avila, joined along with my co-host and partner in crime, Trent Mass. Trent, feeling okay, buddy?
Nah, I just have like a stuffy nose and a sore throat from over the weekend after the football game on Saturday. We had a big recruit night where like our top recruits came and we had like a dinner Q&A, and then some of them stayed the night and we had our fall. Funny to say fall because it's really cold out.
But yeah.
Our fall ID camp where it's just get together, a little practice with a bunch of people that are looking to come to Bluffton. And that was yesterday on Sunday and it was really cold. It wasn't really cold, but with the wind, it felt really cold. So
yeah, fall was here for like a week and it's like, nah fam, we out. Winter came in and hit us square in the jaw. It was cold as heck on Saturday for that football game. My God. I'm envious of you and Jane for being able to be in here in the studio not outside. I mean, it wasn't bad in the press box, but once the third quarter started, some of the football managers or whatever who record the game.
Oh gosh, I got the hiccups.
They went up in the press box. There was that hatch to get on top. Well, they didn't shut it for like halfway through that third quarter. Oh my. So the breeze and that cold air was just going straight in, and I was freezing because I mean the coat I had on just wasn't a good coat to wear to commentate. I had two shirts on. It was just bad. I was cold. My hands were numb. It was awful. But we'll discuss more of that game here in a bit. I want to discuss some of the stuff happening outside of sports to catch you guys up on what we didn't get to cover on Friday's show because it didn't happen yet. So the new AP poll came out for week 12 of the 2018 college football year. It came out on Sunday at 2:00, and the top seven remain the same: Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan, Georgia, Oklahoma, and West Virginia. My biggest thing is that Washington State jumps two spots and jumps over Ohio State. They are ranked eighth. Ohio State, who is ranked eighth, moves down to ninth, and I don't like that. I don't like that one bit. No. Only because Ohio State played a ranked team this week. They played at Michigan State. Michigan State was ranked 18th. And to start the game off, it was a pretty close game. But we ended up winning by 20. We won 26-6. By halftime, Ohio State had a 7-3 lead. And that just baffles me. Yes, Washington State beat their opponent. They played at Colorado, but Colorado was unranked. Colorado is a worse team than what Michigan State is. They're 5-5 overall, 2-5 in the Pac-12. I mean, Colorado was down three heading into the half. I mean, it was a close game like Ohio State's game was against Michigan State heading in the half. They were both close games. I don't know who does the rankings, but that baffles me seeing Washington State, who has the same record as Ohio State at 9-1, leaping over the Buckeyes who did not play and beat a ranked team like Ohio State did. You got anything to add on that?
Yeah, no. I think you pretty much covered all that.
I don't know. That just, it's a head scratcher there. So Ohio State's at 9, LSU's at 10, UCF remains at 11, Syracuse, who's looking pretty darn good at 8-2, they're up one spot to 12, Texas moves up two spots to 13, Utah State remains at 14, Florida moves up 4 to 15, Penn State moves up 5 to 16, Washington moves up 3 to 17, Iowa State moves up 5 to 18, Cincinnati, who's 9-1 overall, moves up 6-19. Kentucky, with their loss, drops down to 20. They drop down 8 spots. Utah is number 21 after being not ranked last week. Boston College, after their loss to Clemson, they drop down 5 spots to 22. Boise State and Northwestern enter the top 25 after not being ranked last week, and then Mississippi State rounds out the top 25, dropping down 7 spots. This week in college football, it was nothing too exciting, honestly, other than the game we had to watch, Bluffton and Defiance. That was a very good game. I really didn't watch any college football other than the Bluffton game. Just, it was a busy weekend. Family came up and had stuff to go, stuff to do. But Ohio State, they are at Maryland this weekend. It's a 12 o'clock game on ABC. That should be an easy win there for the Buckeyes, hopefully. looking at the schedule, I mean, I don't really see any. There's a 2:30 game on NBC. That's Syracuse at Notre Dame. That will be an interesting game. Both are ranked. And if Notre Dame loses, that could possibly put the nail in the coffin on their playoff hope. Looking down the line, this is always a good game. The University of Southern California, or USC, they will be at UCLA. That's a 3:30 game on Fox. And then Indiana at number 4, Michigan. That's on Fox Sports 1 at 4. Iowa State at Texas. That would be a good game. That's on the Longhorn Network at 8 o'clock on Saturday. But yeah, I mean, other than that, there's not a lot of decent matchups heading into week 12 week 12 of Division I college football. But yesterday, I know you're happy about this. The Cleveland Browns, they played host to the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons were 4-4 heading into First Energy Stadium in Cleveland on Sunday. Cleveland was 2-6-1. And my God, Cleveland, they just started swinging, knocked out the Falcons, beating them 28-16, Cleveland. It's first 3-win season since 2015, I do believe. I could be wrong.
It's their first season with 3 wins since 2015, I know that.
Okay. Okay, so yeah. But my gosh, did some of these young kids on this Browns team have a day? Baker Mayfield went 17 of 20. He only had 3 incompletions the entire game. 216 yards passing and 3 scores. Nick Chubb, rookie running back, had 20 carries for 176 yards and 1 touchdown. And Antonio Callaway led the team, I would assume, yep, he led the team with receiving yards at 39. But Chubb, what really put the nail in the coffin for the Falcons was his 92-yard touchdown run, which was the longest in Browns franchise history. I will repeat that. That is the longest rushing touchdown in Browns franchise history. Wow. Wow. Were you able to watch any of this game or no with that ID camp?
I got in the fourth quarter sometime. I don't remember when, but we turned on the TV, it was on, and I saw we were winning, and I was like, okay, there's like 12 minutes left. Let's just hold it. I mean, they had a couple like series, like 3 and outs or whatever. I mean, I watched Atlanta's fourth quarter touchdown. It was like a 4th and goal, and they threw it to Austin Hooper, and Jabril Peppers missed the tackle, and he just walked in. But
oh, wow.
They went for 2 and they missed it, so that's good. But no, I didn't even know he had the rushing record for the longest touchdown until like we were watching and they said something and I was like, wait, what? So I like get on my phone and first thing I get on is
fantasy.
No, I got on. Pat was looking at fantasy for me, but I got on my Instagram because I follow like ESPN, SportsCenter, all these things. Like, right in a row, it was just his touchdown run, and I was like, yeah,
nice.
And he's on my fantasy team, so
mine too. That big gain in that score really helped. Really helped.
Still lost this week, but he did help me keep it a lot closer than it was projected to be, at least.
Well, Yahoo, I'm still losing, but hopefully with the game tonight between the Giants and the Niners, that'll hopefully Odell and Saquon have a game and they bring me back and win.
Yeah.
But in ESPN, I finally got back on the winning way. But yeah, I mean, that's a, what a day to be a Browns fan, right? Oh, what a season to be a Browns fan. It's not how you want it, but I mean, from going 0-16 last year to now 3-6-1, now at home you're 3-2-1.
Yeah, no, it's weird like being here rather than being at home during football season, because like at home I'm like surrounded by Browns fan. And, like here, not many people are like from up north by Northeast Ohio like I am. But Joey Grego, one of the guys on our soccer team, he's from up there a little bit, and he's like diehard Cleveland, everything. And I had to leave the room. I was doing something after the game had finished, and Pat was up in his bed sleeping, and all I come back to the room, and Pat goes, "Joey just ran through our door looking for you." And I was like, "He's probably wants to talk about the Browns."
Yep. Like, so that's exciting. Yeah, I'm not a Browns fan, but I mean, I don't like seeing teams struggle. So, like, it's hard watching the Raiders, who have been good the last 4 or 5 seasons, and they're just, I hate to say this word, but they're trash this year. The Giants are struggling this year, and I hate to see that, because, I mean, you got Odell, who is one of the star receivers. You got Saquon, the rookie running back, who is projected to be a 1,000-yard runner this year, possibly offensive rookie of the year.
He's even for them not even doing well, he's doing well.
Yeah. They need to find the replacement for Eli Manning here soon, because he's not playing well.
I was gonna say he's getting up there.
He is getting up there. But yeah, I mean, that it was a pretty good week in the NFL. Unfortunately, I'm in this Pick'em league, and I finally took my first loss. I was one of like 3 or 4 other people who were undefeated. I picked the Jets to beat the Bills, and
you're way off.
Yep. Yahoo does this survival pick'em league too, and like the winner gets like $10,000, but you can't lose. And I picked the Jets. Yeah, I picked the Jets too in that one. So there goes my hope of winning any money.
I'd have been so upset.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty bummed. But
there's probably a lot of people.
I mean, once you pick a team, like we're in what, week 11.
Yeah.
Once you pick a team, though, like, you can't pick them again. Yeah. So, like, I was looking at the Falcons. I hate to say it, because they were playing the Browns. I was looking at the Saints because of the Bengals. I should have went with New Orleans, because they smacked the crap out of Cincinnati 51-14.
Yeah.
That was a blowout.
That's a little
rough. I should have. Green Bay was one of the options. Washington, because they were playing Tampa Bay. But it's all right. You live and you learn.
You win some, you lose some.
Yep. With the one I'm in, the one that's not Yahoo, I still have a chance to win money in that one, but it's all right.
I have no chance to win any money.
You can't.
Exactly.
You're ineligible for that. It's all right.
It's okay.
So moving on from the NFL to the NBA, one thing that happened on Saturday, and I don't know if you guys talked about it or not. I think it might have happened.
It definitely happened during the game, because James must have like the ESPN app or something, because it like his phone vibrated really loud, and we're like, "What?" But it was when you guys were talking, so we were just watching and listening to you guys, and he's like, "No way, no way!" And I was like, "He showed me." I was like, "No way!" But
well, Jimmy Butler from the Timberwolves got his wish. The Philadelphia 76ers are. They're putting their chips on the table. They want to win this year. And they reportedly agreed to a trade that sent Robert Covington, Dario Saric, Jared Bayless, and a 2022 second-round pick to Minnesota for disgruntled star Jimmy Butler and injured big man Justin Patton. It's leaving me speechless, because I agree. I think Philly might be the odds-on favorite to win the East this year. Trust the process. Yeah, like Joel Embiid has been saying the last 2 seasons, trust the process. That was a bad interpretation of Joel. I'm sorry if you ever listen to this show and you hear that interpretation, please do not tweet at me. I know you are a huge Twitter troll. But no, I think Philly has a good shot at winning the East this year. I mean, Celtics are struggling. They're young stars that had such a great season last year. They're not doing hot. He's playing like Kyrie does, but Gordon Hayward's not playing well. Who is the other? Toronto. I mean, you got Toronto, but all they got really is Kawhi Leonard, Kyle Lowry, and subpar role players who are carrying the team. But when you get Ben Simmons, Jimmy Butler, and Joel Embiid with J.J. Redick,
it's going to be rough.
Yeah.
Very rough.
It'll be interesting for sure. Well, I think that will wrap up all the sports outside of Bluffton. Is there anything else you would like to add before we dive into Beaver Athletics after this break?
Not that I can think of.
Okay.
Off the top of my head.
All right. Well, Trey and I will be back here shortly to discuss, finally, cross country. I know that was one of the things we wanted to try to talk about during pregame and halftime of Saturday's football broadcast, but they just didn't have things up and ready for us yet. Not our website, but the meet website. They didn't have the results up yet. So we'll talk about cross. We'll talk about the butt whooping Bluffton put on Defiance on Saturday. And with women's basketball kicking off their season tonight at 7 o'clock, we'll preview that as well. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Beaver Dam here on 96.1 The Wit.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome back here to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit. I am your host, Tyler Avila, joined along with Trent Mast, and we'll start with cross country. The Bluffton University cross country teams rounded out the 2018 season on Saturday at the Blue River Cross Country Course for the NCAA Division III Great Lakes Regional Championship Meet, tackling the course for the third time this year. To me, that's a lot of time to be spending on one course.
Yeah.
The women's team began the day with an 18th place finish in the 33-team field for their 6-kilometer track. Junior Alexis Cash led the way, earning all region honors with a 23rd place finish and a time of 22:43, the second best time in school history, behind only her time from the HCAC Championships 2 weeks ago on the same course. Cash is the first female in Bluffton cross country history to earn the honor, making her the best regional finisher in school history. Wow. Wow. That's awesome. Congratulations, Alexis Cash. She was followed by sophomore Bailey Barrington with a time of 24:01 and a 92nd place finish. Senior Jenny Matzing was close behind with a time of 24:22. Junior Ari Cox just missed a career best to end her season with a time of 24:50, while sophomore Kimberly Hetrick rounded out the scoring five with a clocking of 25:12. The men's team followed up by finishing their season with a 29th place finish in the field of 38 teams in a race that saw three all-time personal bests by the Beavers. The leaders ran beautifully as a pack, led by junior Dakota Frost with an 8-kilometer mark of 26.54, good enough for 101st in the field. Fellow junior Connor Gulick followed closely in 116th place with an all-time personal best of 27.05. Gulick was shadowed by senior Jonah Eckert, who wrapped up his four-year career with a time of 27.07. The final four runners for the Beavers ran as a pack of their own, led by senior Michael Lehman, who posted a season-best time of 30.19. Senior Jacob Hill followed with a time of 30.56. Freshman Austin Hernandez and senior Joshua Ehlers both finished their season with a pair of personal bests, running times of 31.23 and 31.28, respectively. The distance runners will combine forces with the remainder of the track team in 3 weeks when they open the indoor track and field campaign with their season lid lifter at Tiffin University on Saturday, December 1st. So with cross country now in the books, what a phenomenal year both teams had. I mean, there's no words to describe how well they ran, especially in a season that gave them a new head coach. They came in with great attitudes to start the year and accepting Coach Yachno and Coach Shadewald and with open arms. I mean, Coach Shadewald, who he's been around Bluffton. I do believe he's a Bluffton grad. He also was one of the SI people, sports information people at Defiance as a GA, I do believe, then coming here and being the interim head coach of cross country. I mean, these teams really embraced their presence and they really accepted the change. I mean, some of these runners have had the branches processed the last 3 years, and from what they were drilled in the head as a figure of speech for this, of what the branches have coached them to coming in and accepting something new to what Yachno and Shadewald brought them, they took it and ran with it, literally. I mean, what a great year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all I got to say. Anything you want to add on cross? Did I take the words out of your mouth?
Yeah.
All right. So moving on to the last team to wrap up their fall 2018 season is this Bluffton University football team. They kept the hammer right here at home after a dominating 34-7 win over rival Defiance on Saturday. The Beavers improved to 3-7 overall and 3-5 in the Heartland Conference, while Defiance fell to 1-9 and 1-7 in the HCAC. Bluffton has now won 8 of its last 9 games against the Yellow Jackets for a 47-45-2 lead in the all-time series after the senior day victory. Defiance churned out 45 yards on 9 plays to open the game, but the visitors came up empty with a possession that took nearly 5 minutes off the clock. The Beavers took over with 10:31 on the clock in the first quarter, and they needed just 8 plays to go 84 yards. Was capped off with a Drake Campbell 1-yard touchdown run that put the Beavers up 6-0 with 6:21 left in the first quarter. With 1:32 left in that first quarter, freshman quarterback Zachary Nobis hit Adam Duncan for a 35-yard toe-tapping touchdown that made the score 13-0. Early in the second quarter, Defiance capped off a 12-play, 58-yard drive when Corey Bennett ran it in for the Jackets from 11 yards out, pulling the visitors within a score at 13-7. The Beavers did not let off the gas as tight end Caleb Heilman was on the receiving end of a 11-yard touchdown pass from wide receiver Adam Duncan on some trickery that pushed the Bluffton lead to 20-7 with 7:45 left to go in the first half. Now that play was phenomenal. I remember that play, and guys, they ran it twice.
Yeah.
They ran that exact same play twice. They handed the ball off to Drake Campbell, who then flipped it back to a reversing Adam Duncan going onto the left side of the field, and Caleb Heilman was wide open. He was wide open. No, Bluffton did a great job of pulling Defiance's defense to the right side of the field on that reverse to give Adam Duncan an easy throw to Heilman for the score. Novus connected with senior Lucas Espedia for a 22-yard touchdown pass that made it 27-7 with 11:58 left to go in the third. The final points for the Beavers came late in the quarter when Duncan completed the hat trick with a 3-yard touchdown rush on a sweep that would all but seal the deal at 34-7. Novus was outstanding against the Jackets, completing 18 of 28 for 264 yards and 2 touchdowns. Duncan led all Beaver rushers with 40 yards total and 1 rushing touchdown on just 3 carries, including a 33-yarder. He also caught 7 passes for 92 yards and a score. Espedia finished with 4 catches for 50 yards and a touchdown. Junior Trenton Besgrove had a 22-yard rush, and senior Mark Willis Jr. chipped in with 17 yards on 6 carries. That's a lot, and I still got more. Duncan had an all-time historic day for the Beavers. He finished with 3 touchdowns, receiving, passing, and rushing. The junior also added 3 extra points and punted 2 times with a 45.5 average per kick that included a 50-yarder, which backed the Jackets up to their own 16 late in the third quarter. The Beavers were dominant on the defensive side of the ball, led by Isaac Zikafoos, who had 8 solo tackles, including 2 sacks, 4 TFLs, and a forced fumble to go along with his 15 yards rushing on 5 carries. Junior Dylan Schaefer added 7 tackles, 6 of the solo variety, and an interception for the Beavers. Sophomore Antonio Crossity tallied 6 solo stops, while senior Ollie Moore chipped in with 5 tackles and 1.5 sacks. Bluffton put up 429 total yards of offense, including 158 on the ground, while limiting Defiance to just 196 total yards. The home team moved the chains 10 more times, 22-12, thanks to converting 7 of 12 chances on third down. Wow. The Jackets managed just 1 of 12 conversions on third down. Bluffton also made good on 3 of its 5 trips into the red zone. The Beavers won 2 of their final 3 games and took HCAC heavyweight Franklin to the limit, as Bluffton will go into the offseason on a high note thanks to the demolition of Defiance on Senior Day. The All Heartland Conference Awards are slated to be released this Wednesday, so we'll have those results for Friday. But reading through all of that, I mean, yes, it does justice to give people insight if they didn't get to listen, to watch, or to be there physically at the game. These guys came out and they played football all game long.
Yeah.
I mean, and I said it during the broadcast with Floyd. I'm like, I said this was probably the best game we've seen from these Beavers all season long.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, 429 total yards of offense. That's ridiculously high. They had 158 yards on the ground combined with everybody who had rushing yards.
Yeah.
They held Defiance under 200 total yards of offense. Zachary Novus, holy bejesus.
Did he only play in the first half, or did he play a little?
He played all the game besides the fourth quarter. Then they put Plummy in.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, unless he played half of the fourth quarter.
I know he wasn't in the fourth quarter because that's whenever they had Zick running.
Yep. No, you're right. Because you can't have 2 number sevens on.
Yeah, because once they put Zick into run,
they had to take him off.
He wasn't in the rest of the game.
I don't
know when that was, but
I think that was late in the third.
Yeah.
But, wow.
264 passing yards.
Just 10 incompletions. Yeah. He had one pick, but that pick wasn't his fault. It was just to an extent, it wasn't his fault. It was a misread. The defensive lineman was there at the right time, and nothing you can really have done about that. But
like a couple of them, it was just no one was open, so he scrambled a little bit and just threw it out of bounds.
Yeah. But what a day for Novus.
Yeah.
If you're one of the coaches on this team, you have to be stoked on seeing that from a freshman quarterback.
100%, yeah. like, I don't even know. He just, I was just watching. I was like, holy cow.
Because you're heading into next season with a dual-headed monster at quarterback.
Yeah.
My thing is, you roll with Nobis. Yeah. Nobis has legitimately solidified hit. He can win games.
Yeah, and like even with Plemy, I mean, he can run the ball. So if you need him to run the ball, let him run the ball.
Yeah, if Florida and I were talking post game, you let Nobis be your signal caller. You let him throw the balls. But if you need an athletic man, you move Plemy to. I mean, we know he can throw the ball, but move him to like an H-back position where he can run the ball. He could go out and catch a ball because he's just a legit athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Nobis is the legit quarterback, and I'm not taking anything away from what Plemy has done this season because he had a great year, but Nobis has to be the guy next year. He has to be. I'm just, wow. Is it too late to say freshman of the year, Zachary Nobis?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Yeah. Also, like, a couple of plays that have, like, just stuck in my mind where Duncan's receiving touchdown when he like toe tapped and then did that spin move.
That was nasty.
That was gross.
And that was nasty.
His fake punt.
That was nice.
The block.
That block was
Isaac Payne. I was like, his feet were off the ground. I was like,
he leveled that dude.
I was sitting there like I was in the chair by the wall.
Yeah.
And I like shot my chair back. I was like, I almost hit the wall. I was like, holy cow. I was like, James, did you see that? He's like, did I see what? I was like, we just faked it, and someone leveled somebody else. Like,
James wasn't paying attention during that?
And he was, like, looking at the, he was switching, like, PSAs.
Ah, okay,
and
okay.
And I was like.
Fair enough.
He missed a bad part. Well, not a bad part, but, like, a good part. But
a nasty thing that we like, did.
Woo! I was pumped.
Yeah.
He took off, and I was like, no way. No way.
That was sick. But leading into this game, though, I mean, we had you and James in here doing a pregame show. Then at halftime, you guys did the halftime show. I listened to the majority of the halftime show. How'd that go? I didn't really get to talk to you much about it. I know we were struggling at first.
Yeah.
It was on my end. Some of the things weren't connected in the right. So that's my bad. But it seemed like it went pretty well.
Yeah. I think it's just getting more comfortable in there, but like, it wasn't bad. So
yeah,
I think the most confusing part was like knowing when to like go to timeouts and stuff because like we really didn't know. And then he's like, "You were like, we're gonna take a 30-second timeout," and I was like, "James, now is our time." And
yeah,
we didn't. I don't think we did it wrong.
No. Honestly, you guys were spot on. Like as soon as I said we're taking a timeout, you're listening to Bluffton Beaver Football on 96.1 The Wit. You guys had that PSA playing as soon as I got done saying 96.1 The Wit. Like, that was great. It'd be nice if we can continue that in a basketball season, too. I think that'd be cool.
That'd be very cool.
I know.
I mean, we have enough people.
Right. It'd be hard. We can't. I don't think we'll be able to do it for the first game, which is that Wednesday during Thanksgiving break.
Yeah, I'll be home.
So right.
James might
be able to, but he would have to do it alone, which just it makes things harder just because you don't really
have like a
you don't have someone you don't have someone there to discuss with you unless he brings someone in just to help him out.
And it's hard for like because like I think I live the farthest away from all of us that do like announcing and all that.
You and Floyd, but Floyd is staying here, for that game, and then he's heading home after. But yeah, I mean that was awesome. I wish we could have got you guys in earlier, but unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, you love soccer and soccer season. But if we could have found someone else with James, that would have been awesome.
Yeah,
that would have been awesome. So last but not least, before we wrap up, our women's basketball team has a game tonight at 7. They are at Alma. And it's going to be interesting to see how these Beavers play. I know we've been talking about it the last week and a half or so, just how they are going to fill in with the loss of Casey Rao, Macy Shear. Wow, I can't believe I just butchered that. Sorry, girls. and Abigail O'Donnell, when we had our Damn Jam broadcast, I got to talk to Coach Shuttler, and he basically said that it's not just going to be a couple players stepping up. It has to be the entire team. And from some of the players that we saw during Damn Jam, like DJ Keezy, I haven't seen her shoot
like outside, and she was drilling.
She was knocking down shots from far outside of the post, where we are normally accustomed to seeing her put shots up. Yeah. She was hitting shots left and right.
4 out of 5.
Yeah. That was just insane. But, I mean, you got TJ Mills, who has had great, her last two seasons have been phenomenal. You have Brandon Graham, who stepped up last year. Mm-hmm. You have Nora Heminger. Erica Montiunas, who is the lone senior on the team. She'll return for her final season. You have Heidi Craddock, DJ Keezy, as we just said, LJ Olverson, Chelsea Moore. You have a lot of girls who bring a lot of depth, and I'm sure we're going to see a different rotation this year.
Yeah.
Because the last 2 years, Coach Shuttler has been making sure he has his two best players out there on the court, and Macy and Casey. So I'm sure some of these girls who haven't seen a lot of playing time will see some this year.
Yeah. And I think just not relying on a couple people.
Yeah.
Well, like, I had the word, it went away, but like make you more dynamic in a way.
Yeah.
Like if you have big depth and you know, oh, they're good at guarding this type of player, then you throw someone who doesn't play like that out on the court and just.
Yeah.
Mess everybody up.
Yeah. No, I get you 100%. Having depth and just having that unit and knowing how everybody plays will be a big factor in how these Lady Beavers play on the hardwood starting tonight at 7. Following their 4 away games, they will be in the Sommer Center to kick off their home court stanza on Wednesday, November 28th, when John Carroll comes to town. And then a trip to Transylvania on Saturday, December 1st, will tip off HCAC play, and the Beavers welcome a talented field for the 6th annual McDonald's Holiday Tournament on December 28th and 29th. I'd like to be able to commentate that. Not sure. Got to talk to our boss about that. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. Fall sports are now over. Sad day. I love all of our fall athletics, but winter athletics brings a lot of excitement as well.
Yeah.
I'm a big basketball guy, so I'm ready to see what our basketball teams bring in this year. We'll talk more about the guys on Friday.
That's when they kick off there.
Yeah, I do believe they kick off their games Friday.
Friday night and Saturday afternoon.
They have a tournament. And then they will be home, not this coming Wednesday, but the Wednesday after, next Wednesday. And that wraps up this episode of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us on Friday. Talking to you before the show, you probably won't be here Friday for the live show, right?
Yeah, I don't think anyone from my hometown listens to this. But,
right.
Because I wanted to surprise some of my friends from high school, but I'm going home. And I did theater and musicals and stuff in high school. And my high school's play is this weekend, and not only do I have friends in it, but my brother, my oldest brother, is like, he does set design for our high school, so I want to go and show my support.
There you go.
So I'm going to that.
Being a good alumni there.
Yeah, I'm going with my best friend who goes to BG, so we're just going to ride over together.
There you go. I'm going to try to find a guest. I don't know who yet. I might bring James on just to get him accustomed to what we do here on the Beaver Dam. Check out our previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play The Wit 96.1 Podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TheBeaverDam961. For more stories and information, check out our website, BlufftonWit.com, and subscribe. This has been Tyler Avila, joined along with Trent Mast, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit.
Roll Beave.